Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, happy hump day. I'm your host, Nicole Lee, and welcome to another evening edition of Healthy 365. I hope everybody is well and staying warm. Today's topic that we're talking about is about diabetes. Many of you may have been affected in some way or another by this condition. And it's a cause that's very near and dear to me. I've done several charitable events, and my family certainly has an extensive history with this condition. So we're going to talk about pre-diabetes, gestational diabetes, the difference between diabetes type 1 and type 2, good ways to manage the condition, and also some possible signs or symptoms of whether, if you have the condition, whether your condition is well controlled, and that means that it's adequately managed through your medication and diet and exercise, or whether there may be some indications that it's uncontrolled. And so we're going to talk extensively about that this evening. Okay, let's start off with probably the easiest thing to discuss, which would be, how do you find out if you have diabetes? Well, one of the important things to know is that a healthcare provider or your physician would be able to test you to definitely diagnose you with diabetes. There are several different types of tests that they can do. The first test is called an A1C test. And what that test does is it measures your blood glucose. And we're going to be talking about glucose. And what that is just sugar that's found in your blood. So what the physician would do would be is take a blood sample, or have a phlebotomist, someone who draws blood, take a sample of your blood, and when they run the test, it's called an A1C, it would test what your blood glucose or blood sugar levels have been on average over the past 2 to 3 months. One of the great things about this form of testing is that you don't have to fast. And when many of you are familiar with the term fast, it means you don't have to go without food or certain beverages in order to get screened or get tested for this. An indicator that you have diabetes is if your A1C result is greater than or equal to 6.5%, okay? There's another test that your doctor would use to screen you for diabetes, and that's known as the FPG, or fasting plasma glucose. And the way that this test is performed, again, a specimen or a sample would be taken of your blood to measure your glucose levels. But this test is just like it sounds. It's fasting. So if any of you have ever had blood work done and different tests run, when a doctor asks you to fast, for example, if your appointment is at 8 a.m. in the morning, generally speaking, at 8 p.m. the night prior to the test, you would not consume any food or drink except for water, okay? So you would eliminate all other things from your diet. So the good practice is to do it 12 hours before the time, but it's a minimum of 8 hours for the fasting blood sugar. So typically they recommend that you schedule these types of lab works, or lab draws as they call them, in the morning before breakfast, okay? Now, when they get the results back from the fasting plasma glucose test, it would be an indicator that you have diabetes if the result is 126 milligrams, okay, either equal to that or greater than that amount, okay, that would be a positive result. And then there's another test, and this one is called the oral glucose tolerance test. An abbreviation for that is called the OGTT. And this test is a little bit more involved. It's a two-hour test where they check your blood glucose levels. But what they have you do is a little bit more unique. They're going to check your levels before and 2 hours after. And the reason they're going to do this is because they're going to have you drink a specialized drink. And anyone who's actually had this done, you know, it is cloyingly sweet. It's like the worst case, like the worst amount of sugar and Kool-Aid. It's like the most sugary Kool-Aid. It's nearly like syrupy. It's so sweet. I mean, it's nauseatingly sweet. And they have you drink this drink. And then, of course, they test you before. Then they have you drink the drink, and they have you wait for 2 hours. And then they do another blood draw. And then what they do is compare the results of both of the blood samples to measure the level of the glucose in your blood or the sugar in your blood. Now, what they're doing here is trying to see how your body processes sugar or glucose, okay? So after the 2 hours, okay, they will look at the result, and if you have 200 milligrams of glucose in your blood or higher, then that is an indication that you do, in fact, have diabetes. And then there's another test known as the random. It's also known as a casual plasma glucose test. And this is a check where if someone has been having symptoms and a healthcare provider suspects that they may have diabetes, they will do what is known as a random or casual glucose test, okay, of their blood, to see what their blood glucose or sugar in their blood is running. And again, this result, the target for that, for a positive diagnosis would be glucose in the blood at 200 milligrams / DLs, okay? So those are the four tests. Again, they're called the A1C, okay, the fasting plasma glucose, the oral glucose tolerance test, and the random plasma glucose test. Now, it's important to keep in mind, okay, regardless of the results of these tests, there's more involved in being diagnosed with diabetes. Typically, they have you repeat the process. Typically, like the next day, they'll continue to screen you to confirm that the results do both. They're in the same range. So say you're high one particular day, they would retest you and then check those results and compare them. It's always a good idea. We promote that healthcare provider and physician relationship here. So it's always a good idea to have a wellness checkup. Many of the insurance providers are really, really pushing the fact that they want you to be safe. And so they've designed these great incentives many times, and to promote awareness to the community. A lot of times through your insurance benefit, things like they call them wellness checks, those have expanded to adults now. So you have the wellness check for children and the wellness checks for adults. And so for a child, of course, they would also screen your child for their development, for their immunizations. For an adult, they would check and see if you would be, if it would be appropriate to immunize you for anything. And then they would also check and screen you for certain conditions, okay, because at certain ages, of course, we're at risk for developing things. And, of course, if we have a risk factor, given maybe some of the results of maybe our blood pressure or some previous lab work, or even if you have a family history of some things, you know, your parents develop certain conditions, they'll screen you for those things. So I just cannot impress to our listeners enough how important it is to stay on top of your wellness checkups. And, of course, I'm talking to all of the women out there. It is so, so, so important. Even if co-payments are a factor, it is so important to include in your wellness checkup. You can always have a practitioner that also has the ability to perform a pap smear. I cannot stress enough how many of us do not take our feminine health serious, and we can prevent the development of undiagnosed cancers, of breast cancer. That's a really good time to review with your practitioner ways that you should be doing a breast exam, when they should be done. You can talk to them if you've felt any changes in your breast, any changes in your menstrual cycle. So it's really important to get those wellness checkups. I know as a mom, sometimes we devote so much time to our children and to our significant others that we can neglect ourselves. So we want to make sure that we are the healthiest that we can be as women so that we can really be at our best and make sure we're healthy so that we're around to care for our loved ones. So that's just so important. I just wanted to make sure that everyone was aware that a lot of times those are free. So you can go to the doctor even if you just go once. If you're someone who doesn't like immunizations or doesn't like hospitals, you know, you can go for your wellness checkup, and a lot of those are free. And there's some incentives such as discounts sometimes on premiums and other incentives for getting that wellness check done and knowing what your levels are. It's really good to, there's this whole saying and movement called know your numbers. You know, you want to know what your blood pressure is. You want to know what your different, you know, your cholesterol, what the good and the bad cholesterol, what your triglycerides are, what's your blood glucose. I mean, even if you don't have diabetes, they should still be checking you for those things. Weeding out heart disease, you know, those are things that go undiagnosed. So I cannot, you know, this is a great opportunity just to push wellness checkups for everybody. So everybody get your wellness checkup, okay, every year. There's also, it's important back to our topic tonight, which is diabetes, if you're just tuning in. We had, before I did my spiel about wellness checkups, we had talked about ways that your provider would test you for diabetes. Now, I want to start with pre-diabetes. Many of us have been told that we are pre-diabetic or pre-something in a condition. And it is really, really important to know that if you are told that you are pre-conditioned, that is a warning. It's kind of like when, if your engine in your car, or let's see, you're driving in your car and the indicator comes on, these fancy cars now, and it says that your tire is low. It doesn't always mean that your tire is flat. It just means that here's what the level should be, and your tire is running lower than what is suggested for your vehicle to operate. So we have to think of our lab work and our exams kind of like in that instance, okay? We want to keep everything fine-tuned and working adequately. So if you're ever told that you're pre-something, that is a warning. That's your body's, it's kind of a last-minute warning, but you're not without hope, okay? What it means is that you're pre. So it's like when you preheat something or you're right before it begins, you are past the at-risk point, okay? And you are right on the borderline, you know. That's another thing they use, borderline. But I kind of think that that's a little deceptive because I get a lot of feedback sometimes from patients thinking that, oh, I was just borderline. Or there's lots of misconceptions out there that if you're taking medication for something, which in the medical world, it means that it should be controlled. If you're following your diet, guidelines, and you're taking your medication the way it was prescribed, and you're keeping your end of the bargain, and your health provider's keeping their end of the bargain, you guys are working together to manage that condition. So the thought is that your condition is well, they call it controlled or well managed. One of the misconceptions that I hear from patients is that you'll ask them about And they'll say things like, I don't have something because I'm taking medications for it. When the reality is, when the reality is that even though something is managed with medications, you still actually have the condition. Give me just a moment.
Okay, you're alright with me. Some things are just meant to be.
What did he do? Hello? Hold on for me for just a moment. That is so strange. Okay, it appears that we may be having some technical difficulties, so I'm going to go to a really quick break, and I'll be right back. I'm going to go ahead and play like a quick clip of music. I'll be right back to see if we can get this resolved, because I feel like maybe there may be some issues with our live feed. Okay, so we'll be right back in a short, brief moment. Okay? All right, thank you. This show is sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services such as junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, electrical, painting, drywall, or just a handyman to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code Nicole to receive a 5% discount on your services. Again, that number is 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code Nicole to receive a 5% on your services. Good evening, everyone. If you're tuning in to the show tonight, we're talking about diabetes. Where we left off was we were discussing ways that your healthcare provider could diagnose you with diabetes. And we discussed several different types of blood tests. And just to reaffirm what we had mentioned, the lab work would have to be done over the course of at least 2 days, which would mean it would have to be 2 positive results and the positive ranges for the condition in order to confirm the diagnosis of diabetes. Okay, what we're going to talk about now is specifically with the condition of diabetes or pre-diabetes. Okay, which means that you are on the borderline or have are at risk for developing the full disease. So it means that you're beyond the risk point and you are showing signs and you have lab work within the range, okay, and we'll talk about what those results are now that we've reviewed the type of tests that would indicate that you are in the pre-diabetic or borderline diabetic range, okay. It's important to know that many times there are no symptoms specifically for diabetes, okay? And we'll talk about what some of the common symptoms of those that have been diagnosed with diabetes are. Regarding the tests that indicate whether a person is pre-diabetic, for the A1C blood test, if you are in a range or your result on your lab work is 5.7% to 6.4%, that is an indication that you are pre-diabetic. So you're not a full-fledged diabetic, but you have what is known as pre-diabetes, okay? With regard to a fasting blood sugar, the range or the blood result for a fasting blood sugar result of 100 to 125 milligrams would be an indicator that you have pre-diabetes. And then the final result, the OGTT test, which earlier we had explained what that type of test is, that test is known as the oral glucose tolerance test. And that is the test where I said you drink the really, really sweet Kool-Aid, and then they test you before they have you drink it, and then they retest you 2 hours after you consume the really sweet drink. And if your blood glucose from that result is in the range of 140 milligrams to 199 milligrams, then that is an indication that you are known that you have prediabetes, okay? I think it's important anytime we talk about a condition to talk about easy ways to prevent it. So if you have ever been told, or if you have a loved one that's been told that they are prediabetic, there's some very easy ways to prevent the development of type 2 diabetes, okay? Type 2 diabetes is diabetes that you develop. It's the one that you're not born with, okay? So a good way to reduce your risk of developing diabetes would be to lose weight. And I know for a lot of you, you're saying that's simpler, that's easier said than done. Being healthy and staying active is a challenge for all of us. But losing as little as 7%, statistics show, of your body weight, which if you weighed 200 pounds would just be 15 pounds, would greatly reduce your risk of developing type 2 diabetes if you're pre-diabetic, okay? Also, exercising moderately, 30 minutes a day, just 5 days a week, will reduce your risk, okay? So even if you're not an ideal weight, if you just use a few pounds, 5, 10, 15 pounds, that can make a huge difference in your life. It's important to also know that certain conditions can put you at risk for developing other conditions. And unfortunately, because the condition of diabetes is a disease of the blood, it can lead to adverse conditions such as heart disease, okay? So it can cause and affect your blood pressure and your cholesterol. So it is definitely something that you would want to work with your provider to manage, okay? Okay. If anyone has any stories or any questions about diabetes or other questions, the guest call-in line tonight is going to be area code 347-884-8705. Again, the guest call-in line is 347-884-8705. Okay? Let's talk a little bit about another common condition that many people aren't aware of, and it's something called gestational diabetes, okay? Gestational just means during pregnancy. So for those women out there, you certainly may have heard of this condition. You can be at risk for it. I know with my last child, I was at risk for gestational diabetes. Statistics show that typically if you're going to develop the condition during your pregnancy, it develops in the 24th week of your pregnancy, so right towards the end, okay? Just because you're diagnosed with gestational diabetes, it does not mean that you had it before you got pregnant, okay? And it does not mean that you will have it after you give birth to your child. It is important to know, though, and this is very important, studies do show that women who have gestational diabetes during a pregnancy increase their risk of developing type 2 diabetes later in life. So it is very, very important that if you had this condition during your pregnancy, that you implement a healthy lifestyle, and it's usually a good idea to follow the diet guidelines that your physician gave you during pregnancy and avoid excess weight gain, excess sugars, keep your blood pressure managed so that you're not at risk for developing full-blown type 2 diabetes later in life, okay? All right. Typically, how they treat gestational diabetes is with oral medications, so they're usually pills. And they have you, they'll closely monitor your pregnancy because it's deemed a form of high-risk pregnancy, okay? And I'll have more information about everything that I'm discussing. I do apologize if I'm talking a little fast and hurried. Just so much to talk about with diabetes, so I do apologize. I'm very passionate about it. I'll have this information on my blog. And our blog is very similar to the radio station here at geyserradio.com. You can find my blog by clicking on my name, Nicole, and it's on geyser.com. That is Y-I-Z-Z-O-R.com. And so I will have a new blog there. Fridays is when I'll post my blog. So that'll be available, and we'll recap important things to know about diet, if you do have diabetes, or if you're trying to prevent diabetes, and different types of tests, and then the different forms of diabetes that we've talked about during the show. So I'll have that information. Again, the website address for my blog would be yizor.com. That's Y-I-Z-Z-O-R.com. And you can simply search for my blog by looking up my name, which is Nicole. Okay. Since we've talked so much about pre-diabetes, let's talk about type 2 diabetes, okay? It's important to keep in mind that having diabetes just means that your blood glucose or your sugar levels are just higher than normal. There's a normal range for things, and your blood sugar is just simply higher than the normal range, okay? It also means that your body does not use insulin properly, and that's known as what they call insulin resistance, okay? And our pancreas is what makes our insulin, okay? I'm also going to have on the blog a link for a great website. It's called www.diabetes.org, and it has a lot of great information for those seeking out additional information, those recently diagnosed, and they even have a wonderful program that you can be a part of and some tests that you can take and points that you can talk to your healthcare provider about, okay? So let's talk about your treatment and care. As a nurse, one of the important things when you are diabetic, okay, regardless of whether it's type 2 or type 1, it's really important that you check your blood glucose. And the way you do that is with a meter. It's a way to measure your blood sugar. So you would basically take a small sample using a finger or your forearm. Typically people use the tips of their fingers, and you would measure your blood sugar several times a day using a blood glucose meter. And you administer the blood to the strip, and then it will give you back a number indicating the amount of blood sugar or sugar in your blood, okay? But it's called a result, or they call them glucosimeters, or commonly there's a brand called AccuCheck. So a lot of people just call them AccuChecks. Important things to be concerned about as a diabetic is regulating your blood sugar. You want to make sure that you're not having big spikes or high blood sugar or big drops, which is also known as low blood sugar. And we'll talk about symptoms of both high and low blood sugar. But another important thing to remember is foot care. When a person is diabetic, they don't always heal the way that a person without diabetes would heal. So a lot of times they're susceptible to foot injuries. So it's really important to, in addition to your physician or your healthcare provider that manages your diabetes, it's also important to have a foot doctor, also known as a podiatrist, okay? And the podiatrist will examine your feet at least once a year. Your doctor, once you see a podiatrist, will tell you how often they want to see you. But you want to make sure that you wear good fitted shoes, that things aren't too tight to prevent issues with circulation, okay? And that's the blood flow to your feet. You want to check your foot for open wounds and sores. So check in between your toes, check under your feet, make sure there's no openings because you're at risk for infection. And again, because you have trouble healing, okay, any types of infections or open wounds put you at risk for grade infections that can be fatal. So you want to make sure that you're checking your feet on a regular basis, dry them well, make sure that they're not wet. So you want to take extra good care of your feet. It's also important to take good care of your teeth. Being a diabetic puts you at risk for an extra amount of bacteria, and lots of people develop gum disease. So then that means you would possibly be at risk for losing your teeth. So make sure you're getting your two visits a year with your dentist, okay? Understand also that with oral health, that affects your heart as well. Again, diabetes increases your risk of heart disease, okay? I'm going to take a really quick break. So I'm going to play music, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to go ahead and present the symptoms of high and low blood sugar, and then we'll go ahead and do our inspirational quote of the week. So we'll be right back after this brief interlude. Sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services such as junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, or a handyman to complete your to-do list, or painting, drywall, or electrical work, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo Nicole to receive a 5% discount on your services. Again, that number is 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code Nicole to receive a 5% discount on your services. Welcome back, everyone. My name is Nicole. I'm your host for the show Healthy 365, and it's Wednesday evening, and today we're talking about diabetes. So if you're just tuning in or if you have a comment or a question, you can call our guest line at 347-884-8705. I wanted to talk about signs and symptoms of high and low blood sugar. I think that's so important before we wrap up our topic for this evening. It's important to know the difference and the symptoms because that's an indication that your condition is not well controlled. Some causes for high blood sugar can be if you're insulin dependent or if you administer insulin to manage your diabetes, and insulin, and you haven't administered enough, that can cause your blood sugar to still be too high, okay? Because the goal of either tablets or insulin would be to lower your diabetes. So if you haven't administered enough insulin, then your blood sugar may still be high, which is known as hyperglycemia. And so, or if you ate more than you planned or didn't exercise or stress or cold or flu, any type of changes in your hormones can cause your blood sugar to increase. It's important to know the signs are of high blood sugar are frequent urination, an increase in thirst, also high levels of sugar in the urine. And anyone who has taken care of someone with diabetes or has diabetes knows it is a very distinct smell. It's a very, it's an unpleasant smell, but you definitely know when you are passing sugar in your urine. Some signs of low blood sugar or hypoglycemia would be shakiness, nervousness or anxiety, sweating, chills, and clamminess, being irritable or impatient. If you've ever been around someone who has diabetes, sometimes they'll just get really irritable all of a sudden and they don't make a whole lot of sense. Confusion. A rapid heartbeat, dizziness, hunger or nausea, blurred vision, sleepiness, numbness in the lips or tongue, headaches, weakness or fatigue. And fatigue is just when you're tired. It's not like a normal tired, like when you haven't had enough sleep. It's just like no matter what you do, you're just very, very tired. You just don't have enough energy. Anger, stubbornness, or sadness, lack of coordination, nightmares or crying out during sleep. Some of the symptoms are also seizures and unconsciousness, okay? It's important that if you have either of these symptoms for high or low blood sugar, you would want to check your blood sugar levels immediately and see what the results were. And anyone who's diabetic, they kind of know what their norms are from taking their blood sugar. You know what you normally run in the afternoon, before you've had breakfast, at night, depending on how often your physician wants you to check your blood sugar levels. And so you would check it immediately, and then you would do the appropriate interventions. Now, if you have low blood sugar, it's important to, a lot of times it's recommended to keep something such as glucose tablets. They kind of look like little candies. You can keep a gel tube. You can eat some raisins. You can drink 4 ounces of juice, 1% or non-fat milk, or just suck on a hard candy. And usually within a few minutes, that'll bring your levels back to your normal range or the range that your doctor has recommended for you. If you have high blood sugar, you're still going to check your blood sugar, okay, to check and confirm that it is high. But then what you'll want to do is, depending on what the range is, and your doctor will always tell you what the bad range is. If that happens, you would want to call your physician if it's within hours. If it's after hours, typically if you have insurance, there's a nurse line that you can call, or you can reach out to your local urgent care. Depending on how high it is, if you've ever got a reading, for those of you that are diabetic, and the result just says high, where it's so high that it doesn't even register on the meter, that's considered a medical emergency. So you would want to call your physician's emergency after hours line, or you would want to reach out to your local urgent care or emergency department to get the direction of a nurse right away or a physician to find out what your next course of action should take. But sometimes your doctor, if you're on insulin, will have like a additional dosage of insulin you can administer, or will tell you that if your blood sugar is this high, to take an additional dosage of medication is typically how that's treated. Again, it's important to know that with any condition or with any precondition, it's important to keep that line of communication open with your physician. So you would definitely want to communicate with your doctor, so that your doctor is able to help you properly manage the condition. I'm going to take one final quick break. We will be right back after this brief interlude, and we will take any questions or comments if you have them. Again, that guest call in line is 347-884-8705. We'll be right back after this short interlude with the quote of the week. And then we will wrap it up just with some general good health promotions and just additional facts about diabetes. We'll be right back after this brief break.
There's so much craziness surrounding me, there's so much going on, it gets hard to breathe, but all my faith has gone, you bring it back to me, you make it real for me, but I'm not sure of my power. For me, and I head is strong, but my heart is weak. I'm full of arrogance and uncertainty. I can't find the words you teach my heart to speak.
This show is sponsored by damselindistress.com. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, or Indianapolis, Indiana, and need home or business services like junk hauling, moving, carpet cleaning, residential or commercial cleaning, or painting, drywall, or a handyman just to complete your to-do list, then let damselindistress.com be your helping hands. Call 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code Nicole to receive a 5% discount on your services. That number again is 888-769-2210 or log on to damselindistress.com and use promo code Nicole to receive a 5% discount on your services. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Healthy 365. Again, to recap, we're talking about diabetes, and we were just talking about symptoms of high and low blood sugar. High would be considered hyperglycemia, and low would be hypoglycemia. I believe we have a caller. Let me check in. Caller, your number ends with 9747. Do you have a question or comment? Hello?
Oh, yes, I did.
Hello?
Have a comment.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on? I was listening to your show,
Hi.
And I listened to the symptoms of diabetes, and I wanted to say your show is giving a lot of good information tonight, because some of the symptoms that you said about diabetes, I didn't even know existed, like the part with the nightmares and other symptoms like that. So I just wanted to let you know that that's some very helpful information.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. We appreciate your comment. Do you have a loved one or, you know, somebody who's been diagnosed with diabetes?
Yes, actually, well, my grandfather, he passed away from diabetes, and my mother, she currently has diabetes, and this, I would say, like, maybe 3 years ago, she just started taking insulin.
She progressed to insulin.
Controlled. Yeah, and then I also have
I actually have
a family member also, a cousin. She actually just had her foot amputated from diabetes last year. I was wondering, what's the cause of that? Why do they have to cut off the people's limbs?
Well, what I can tell you is that is a complication of the condition. I don't know if you heard earlier when I talked about the importance of foot health. Because there's large amounts of sugar in your blood, diabetics are predisposed or at risk for developing issues with circulation. Remember I kind of told you diabetes go hand in hand with your heart. And, of course, your heart circulates your blood throughout the limbs of your body. Well, people that are diabetic tend to have poor circulation, and they can develop something, it's a term called neuropathy. And what that means is where the blood is not circulating to your feet and to your legs. So, unfortunately, when their condition is not well controlled, they can lose the circulation, and over time that limb, when your body part doesn't get blood to it, it doesn't function. It's dead. And so, unfortunately, that's kind of like death of a limb. And over time you can lose a toe, you can lose a whole foot, it can progress all the way up your leg, and so you can actually lose a leg, and they call that an above-knee or below-knee amputation, unfortunately. It's a risk of uncontrolled diabetes or just neuropathy kind of goes hand-in-hand with the condition. It's a high risk. So that's what it comes from, poor circulation to the limb.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, thank you for the helpful information, and have a good night. You have a good show.
You too. Thank you so much for calling. Okay, everyone. Again, we're talking about diabetes. If you have a quick question or comment, you can still give me a call at 347-884-8705. Your comments are always welcome and appreciated. I'm always sad to hear when someone has lost a limb or someone is insulin dependent, but I think it's always important to impart with this education that we promote here is to promote hope. Diabetes is a very common condition. It's very common amongst the African-American community especially, and we lose so many to this disease. But, you know, through a community effort and programs like this and awareness like this, through keeping that wonderful relationship with your healthcare provider, with staying educated, with being involved. Again, this great website for resources is www.diabetes.org. Being involved with the American Diabetes Association will get you involved with a network and a community of people to promote education, to make sure that you know the risk factors, that we stay involved and stay on top of it. Donations help with expanding medications and new treatments. You know, they're doing so many things with stem cells and, you know, implants to help with people's pancreas to help you produce insulin. So there's so many options out there. Don't give up hope. Great diet, great exercise. Stay on top of your appointments. See your doctor when you're supposed to. Check your feet for the circulation issues. Check your blood sugar. I cannot stress this enough. Always check your blood sugar. Check your blood sugar when you're supposed to. Report trends. If you find that your blood sugar is really high or really low, please report that to your doctor. I can't stress that enough because over time, mismanaged diabetes can just wreak havoc on your whole entire body and your ability to function and thrive. And so we want you here as long as possible, so we cannot stress that enough. Avoid extra sugar. You know, don't eat a lot of pastas. Don't eat a lot of candy. I know you're craving it. Anybody who's diabetic or knows a diabetic, it's like they crave sugar. It's like whenever you tell someone they can't have something or it's bad for them, it's like they just want it. Another phenomenon, too, is sometimes when you are diabetic and you have high blood sugar, your body gets used to that high blood sugar. And so sometimes when you take your medications and you're newly diagnosed, you find them, they don't want to be compliant or they don't want to take their medication because they don't feel so good. You know, your body is like, what the heck is going on? My blood sugar is usually really, really high. You know, I'm used to my blood sugar being 300 degrees and now it's dropped. And so just know that if you stay the course, you know, you can make improvements. And a great thing to have is family. You cannot have enough support available to you. I want to end the show tonight with a quote. It's an anonymous quote, but I think it's beautiful. It's called, Our waking hours form the text of our lives, our dreams the commentary. I just thought that was just so thought-provoking and wonderful. Please tune in to next week's show. We have some exciting things to talk about. Again, don't forget you can revisit other wonderful shows on YaiserRadio.com right here from this site. There's also another great social network. It's called YIZZOR.com. There's some great blogs there, some great information to promote awareness for our community. I want to thank everyone, all the callers that called in, and everyone for tuning in to our show. And I wish everyone a good night, and I'll see you next Wednesday at the same time. And have a very good evening. God bless.
Okay is all right with me. Some things are just meant to be. It never comes easily, and when it does, I'm already gone. I'm practically